Amen. I'm going that way. If we're going that way and wanting to be with him there and forevermore, we've got to start on that way right here and right now. And keep your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Continue moving forward so we can make it to be with him forevermore. Amen. Amen. We thank you for those that have already gone before and shared and sung and prayed and gave us a wonderful talk at the Lord's table to bring us in remembrance of what Jesus has done. And thankful for all of that. I do have one more announcement before we get going. This is Christmas time of the year, and the Anna Marie Dance Studios presents Happy Holidays. One of our own, Anaya Jones, is going to be in that once again. Amen. And we want to support her. And the Cab Calloway School of Arts is going to be on Friday, December the 6th at 7 p.m. and Saturday, December 7th at 2 p.m. And you can purchase tickets at etix.com. And you can just put the Cab Calloway School and it should come up after that. So we want to encourage her and encourage you to be there and support one of our very own. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. We're going to look at verse 11. I'm actually going to read verse 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together in your word. We thank you for allowing us just the privilege, opportunity to be on this side of life, to breathe the air that we breathe, to receive the blessings that you shower upon us each and every day. This week especially, Lord, we're reminded, the world is reminded to say thank you to one another, but especially thank you to you, Lord. For you are the giver of all gifts. You are the source of all of our blessings. And so we first look to you every single day and say thank you for what you have done, for what you are doing, and thank you for what you will do, Lord. Because we know that whatever comes through you is perfect, pure, right, holy, just. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been preaching, teaching, out in front, talking to people for quite some time. I've taken classes on communication. I was a Toastmaster. I went, and sometimes we had competitions, speaking competitions. And in all the training of and being a communicator, and especially a communicator of God's word, one of the things that I've learned in communication is one of the powerful, most powerful tools you have is a story. A story. Lessons can be wrapped into a story, and we carry those stories with us even more than just line item, bullet points, and stats, and you know, all those type of things. If you wrap a teaching into a story, the story will outlive that bullet point, or even that picture. You know, stories are so powerful. Today, I want to talk about our story. God is working. Not when I say our story, I mean my story, your story, your story. God has been working on us, is currently working on us, has a destination for us, for our lives, and what we're to accomplish and what we're to do. God has a desire for us to be closer to Him, that He might use us in a great way. And all of that comes through our experiences. All of that comes through the ways in which God is blessing our lives and enriching us. All of it comes from our successes and even from our failures. One of the beautiful things we look at when we look at the Word of God is that it's a book of stories. And through these stories, we gain inspiration. Through these stories, we get warnings. Through these stories, we see hope and encouragement. There's also fear and reverence that are given to us. There are so many ways in which these stories teach us things to do and things not to do. These stories are talking to each of us. And see, and that's why our story, your story, is vitally, vitally important. Sometimes we think, well, my story is insignificant. My story. And I'm going to talk about testimony today. But I want you to understand, when I talk about testimony, I'm not only talking about the testimony of what happened when I was lost and now became found. See, God's not just doing things one time. He didn't just do it on that one moment. But there are testimonies that happen each and every day. Each and every day, God is doing something wonderful in our lives, something that we ought to be able to praise God about and share with someone else. Because through those stories, they inspire. Through those stories, they teach. Through those stories, they give hope. Through those stories, they make God real. God isn't just a God of a black and white on a piece of paper. God is active. He's living in our lives. He's living in and through us. And so if He's living in and through us, there's something He's trying to tell to the world by our stories, our testimony. There's a powerful testimony. Your stories are powerful. God is writing those stories each and every day. And sometimes we minimize ourselves, but you never know if that one little thing, there's one little thing that someone can identify with, one little thing that makes God a little more real in the life of someone else if we only told our testimony. So your testimony is a weapon, a tool to glorify God, and a beacon of hope for others. So let's look at this once again. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They triumphed over Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. First and foremost, it says that their triumph, they triumphed Him by the blood of the Lamb. First and foremost, this is where all victory starts, right here at the cross. First of all, it all starts with what Jesus did. When Jesus came and died, not only died, but His resurrection, which was proof of who He is. He wasn't just an ordinary person. He wasn't just someone hoisted up with common criminals to the left and right of Him. He wasn't just a person that had no purpose here. No, He showed His purpose in His death, His burial, and especially His resurrection. Everything else, it validated everything He was teaching. It validated what people were saying about Him. Jesus came, and the first hope that we have, the first victory that we really have, comes through the victory that comes through the cross. But notice after that, it says they triumphed over Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, I must admit that sometimes when we think of testimony, we only think of the words that come out of our mouths. That's insufficient. That's not enough. See, their words and their actions work together. And we talked about that in Bible class about faith, didn't we? Right? Our faith is really demonstrated when these things that we say are demonstrated in what we do. And this book in Revelation is a book of great suffering and persecution that God's people were going through at that time. It was trying to give them hope for a better future and also even for their suffering at that time. Be thou faithful unto death and you shall receive the crown of life. Be thou faithful in the midst of death. And here is showing that their testimony matched up with the things that they were saying, the things that they were believing, the words that were being written to them. They understood it and they took it on so much so they believed it that even many of them were some being thrown into arenas for sport. And there, the word, their testimony spread to others. And they said, what is this about these people that they would follow a man even and would not renounce their faith even to the point of death? That as they were tarred and as they were taken to chariots and one side of them tied to one chair, the other side tied to the other chair and split in into two. That they were placed in fire, burned at the stake. And would not renounce. See, their testimony spread. Others heard of their walk and their talk, and their walk and their talk spoke so loudly that others had to hear. And they had to ask the question, what is so different about these Christians? What makes them able to take the suffering even to the point of death? No, the perspective was that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That even in my death, it's not just I'm not dying, I'm just transitioning. I'm going to that place where heaven is. I'm going to the very picture that John is writing here in Revelation about the streets of gold, the walls of jasper. I mean, all the beauty of heaven that is displayed there, they understood it and they believed it and their testimony said it. The word of their testimony was powerful. Sometimes we think, well, I don't have a big testimony myself. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. You've got so much to say about God and what he has done in your life. We don't have to be like Paul. Paul comes and he understands this power of testimony. He understood it and he started sharing about who he was. If you knew anything about Paul, Paul looked like he was so far against Christ and Christ's movement. He was capturing people and getting them bound into prison and stuff, that he had orders to be able to arrest. And he was contrary to this movement, this new movement that was coming. So much so that he was zealous toward the things, keeping the old order. And yet God worked on him. God worked on him. God had this transformation moment that he had on that road to Damascus, blinded on that road, but able to then see finally for the first time, able to see Jesus. And he has that moment of restoration. He's told to go to Ananias, that would tell him what to do, and Ananias tells him to get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Ananias shared with him exactly what he needed to do to get in right relationship with God. And now he's telling his story. He's saying, this is who I was, and this is what I've done against Christ and what I've done against God. See, all of us, I don't know about you, let me talk about myself. I've got a before Christ moment. I got a BC story. I got plenty of BC stories, right? Before Christ, this is who I was. This is what I did. This is how I thought. This is how I walked. This is, amen? And so you've got that BC story, and you go, well, but then there was a moment of change, a moment of clarity where I understood that I couldn't stay the same. See, the details and all that are different, but you understand that it pretty much happens the same way. When you get to that moment where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you throw your hands up and say, no more. I don't want to continue living with this existence. I don't want to continue living in this way. And you see hope in Christ. And you recognize that in order to have him, I've got to sell out. I got to sell it all in order to purchase something so great and so valuable. And Paul comes to this moment and he shares his story. And he now shares with them that he has a mission that came directly from God. God gave him a purpose. And he went and he acted and he lived out that purpose. He lived that testimony out in his life. What has God delivered you from? What is God taking you to? God wants to use us, and he wants to use us in a mighty way. See, sharing your testimony, it brings glory to God. The Psalm 107:2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed. In other words, you cannot stay quiet. You can't stay quiet for all the blessings that God has done. Turn with me for a moment to Luke chapter 19. I don't have this on the screen, but if you have your Bible, Luke chapter 19. Let's start at verse 35, Luke 19:35. It says, "Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own garments on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, they spread their clothes on the road. And then as he was now drawing near the descent of Mount Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice and all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him through the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and he said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" These people had been hearing about this Jesus. This is Jesus making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And people had heard the wonderful works of Jesus. They had heard about Jesus. They had heard the miracles. They had heard that he brought some from the dead, that he was able to give sight to one that was blind, give hearing to one who could not hear, be able to raise those who had never walked. They heard the stories, but now Jesus was there in their midst. And the people, for a moment at least, they believed hard that Jesus was fulfilling the prophets of old. That Jesus, now on this colt coming in, on this donkey coming in to Jerusalem, he's now fulfilling these, and the people are excited. They're throwing down their clothes. They're throwing down the palm branches. They're welcoming him in as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming in. And it says there were other people on the side that weren't recognizing the grandness of this moment. Jesus says, no. You let them cry out. They're crying out is speaking of me. They're crying out is glorifying me. Them crying out is important. So important you can't suppress it. Because if you try, some way God's going to get the praise and the glory. God wants to get the praise and the glory from us. He didn't want the rocks to cry. He wants us to cry out. He wants us to share those hallelujah moments that God has had in our lives, when we've seen him do some great things, when we've seen him walking through doors and open doors that only God could open, only God could create. Those are the moments that give him praise. And that's why I share with you guys so much about my stories and about me and even my family. And sometimes it works against me. Dad, you talk too much. You share too much. But why? I don't share just to boast, because some of it isn't so boastful. But it's to give God the glory. Look at what he has done. Look at what he's able to do. Look at what, amen. And you, sometimes we need something real. Now, I want to share something with you. Last week, this message today, you can thank one person, Jen Rigg, for this. On last week, raise your hand real nice and tall. You can thank her for this message. Because after church, after service on last week, she said, "I want to share my testimony." I said, you want to what? I want to get up front and share my testimony. I said, "You know what? We're going to just do just that then, ain't we?" We're going to allow her to share her testimony right now in this moment. Is that all right? All right.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Morning, church. So, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Acts 3:38, and we'll read. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God."
Amen.
I have been attending this church since last September of 2023. I have been in church most of my life. But I will tell you, it sometimes takes something to get you back into church if you have stepped away. It sometimes takes you a realization within yourself to realize, maybe I'm not doing this the best way. Maybe there's another way. I lost my father 2 years ago, and I was looking for a group. I hadn't belonged to a church in a while, and I was looking for a group, a grief group. And I was given the direction from a hospice social worker who said, "Go to griefshare.org." So I get on, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to GriefShare. I find this very church, Green Bay Church of Christ. And I said to myself, okay, this will work. It's Monday night, and I can do it online. Great. I work. Anybody will tell you, I'm a workaholic, yeah. With that being said, I went into the group. That group and those individuals have changed my life. I remember sitting in that group, sharing stories. Sharing my story, stories that made me cry, stories that made me laugh. And I shared them with strangers, people who did not know me, who did not know my father. And I was received with kindness from strangers who didn't know me. And these individuals became almost like family members to me, extended family members. So, I was then invited to come sit in church. I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to grab the good book, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to go to church. And I was invited by Mike and Judy Barker, and I sat with them almost up until they left. And I sat with them each morning, each Sunday that I came. And as I was sitting there, this urge to just do it. I can't explain it, but I needed to do it. The urge grew bigger and it grew deeper. And I started meeting with George. I then met this wonderful man who we all know and love. And on a Tuesday night, last December, I made my decision.
Amen.
My decision.
Amen.
To go into this door, this one right here, to go into this door, put on some clothes, and I went down these very steps into this very warm water. If you know me, I have been teaching and coaching swimming for 22 years. I've been a swimmer my whole life. I like warm water. So that was appealing. it was very appealing. So I put on the clothes. I went down the steps, There was just a couple of us here. It was the best thing that I have done for myself.
Amen. Okay. Amen.
So. And I say that because there are moments in life where we can say, okay, I went to high school. I graduated college. I have done all of these wonderfully accomplishing things. But when you do something for yourself, when you are making that personal pledge to walk by the person and beside somebody who has been so, there are things happening, and I share with Domingo, I share with some of you. There are things that are happening just in the past couple of weeks that I cannot explain, okay? So when I have those moments, I'm like, I have to humble myself a little bit, that's first. But in that humility, I have learned that I am here for just a short amount of time. That, you know, I could be gone when I leave these doors. But I can also thrive and I can live.
Amen.
And I'm going to thrive and I'm going to live. And I'm going to speak my story because there's power in story. There's power in truth, and there's power in the book.
All right. Amen. Thank you, my sister. Thank you so much. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome. Can I go okay?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. You know, it takes a lot of strength to be able to just get up and tell your story. And first, we applaud Jen once again for that strength.
Amen.
And I want to close out with this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." See, the enemy, he wants us to zip the lip, be silent, you know, fear, guilt. Guilt's a big one. I can't say nothing because I'm not perfect yet. Well, if you're waiting to be perfect, ain't none of us got anything to say to anyone. Amen. Amen. Share what God is doing and what God has done. And it's so powerful. I hope that there was just one thing, maybe one person whose heart was said, you know what, I'm in that situation, I understand, or I can identify, and maybe just being vulnerable and showing our vulnerabilities helps people once again to say, God is real. God is real. I just heard my sister's voice out there, and how many of you are cancer survivors? Come on, raise your hand up high, high. Can you raise your hand up high and keep it up for a moment? Can you keep it up high for a moment? And I want everyone to look around. Survivors, right? So if that means if you're going through right now, you've got some survivors to be able to talk to. You've got some people. All of us are walking in here. We have something that God has taken us from and taken us to and taken us through. And it's on that through, on that side of it, that there's something to be able to say, look, here's where I was, and look, I wanted to give up, I wanted to throw my hands up, but we kept fighting on, but yet God gave us the victory in spite of what we were going through. You know, it's time to raise our voices again and share the goodness of God, his grace and his mercy, his blessings and his benefits. Forget not all of his benefits, and share those things with others. That's how we make God real. That's how your testimony becomes powerful. Maybe somebody here and you're ready. On that day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, Paul was preaching this message, this gospel message, that Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose. And there were people that heard that message for the first time. Some of them were some of the same people that were celebrating his entry, and then the next week after that, they were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Some of them were the same people. But yet at this time, they've come to a change of heart in who Jesus is. And they ask this great question, what shall we do? And Peter tells them very plainly, he says, repent. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He tells them to repent, turn, change. I like to use the word surrender. Surrender to God completely. And make a decision that he's going to be your Lord and you're going to follow him. And then he says, be baptized. And this is why baptism is so important. Baptism, first of all, is a reenactment. Romans 6 is a reenactment of what Jesus did. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose. Right? And so we die to sin, we're buried in the water grave of baptism, we rise to walk in newness of life, and so we're recreating what Jesus did on the cross in baptism. But baptism is an obedience to the command of Jesus for us to be baptized. If this is his mode and this is his means, we have no ability to be able to change it. We have no way to just say, well, let's scrap that, and instead we're just going to tell people to say this prayer, and that'll be enough. Or we will leave it as optional. It's an optional. No, this is what Jesus said, and there's a reason why he said it. Let's just do what Jesus said. And if you're ready to just do what Jesus said, Jesus came, he died, he was buried on the third day. Do you believe that? Are you ready to now turn to surrender to him? Are you ready to demonstrate that in baptism? That as you go down in that water grave of baptism, he restores you, he changes you, he connects with you, and you rise to walk in newness of life, now spirit-filled with the Spirit of the Lord living within you now. Are you ready to receive that? Come today. If you're ready, everything's ready. As Jen said, the water's ready. It's warm. It's warm. It's warm. It's ready to receive you. If God is ready to receive you, if you're ready to come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.